Survey of Anglican History, Episode 12, Lanfranc. Lanfranc, born around 1010 and died May 24th, 1089, was an Italian-born English churchman, monk, and scholar. Born in Italy, he moved to Normandy to become a Benedictine monk at Bec. He served successively as prior of Bec Abbey and abbot of St. Stephen's Abbey in Caen, Normandy, and then as Archbishop of Canterbury in England, following its conquest by William the Conqueror. He is also variously known as Lanfranc of Pavia, Lanfranc of Bec, and Lanfranc of Canterbury. In his lifetime, he was regarded as the greatest theologian of his generation. Early life. Lanfranc was born in the early years of the 11th century at Pavia, where later tradition held that his father, Hanbald, held a rank broadly equivalent to magistrate. He was orphaned at an early age. Lanfranc was trained in the liberal arts, at that time a field in which northern Italy was famous. There is little or no evidence to support the myth that his education included much in the way of civil law, and none that links him with Irnerius of Bologna as a pioneer in the renaissance of its study. For unknown reasons, at an uncertain date, he crossed the Alps, soon taking up the role of teacher in France, and eventually in Normandy. About 1039, he became the master of the cathedral school at Avranches, where he taught for 3 years with conspicuous success. But in 1042, he embraced the monastic profession in the newly founded Bec Abbey. Until 1045, he lived at Bec, in absolute seclusion. Teacher and scholar. Lanfranc was then persuaded by Abbot Herwin to open a school at Bec to relieve the monastery's poverty. From the first, he was celebrated Totius Latinitatis Magister. His pupils were drawn not only from France and Normandy, but also from Gascony, Flanders, Germany, and Italy. Many of them afterwards attained high positions in the church. One possible student, Anselm of Badaggio, became pope under the title of Alexander II. Another, Anselm of Bec, succeeded Lanfranc as the Archbishop of Canterbury. The favorite subjects of his lectures were the Trivium of Grammar, Logic and Rhetoric, and the application of these principles to theological elucidation. In one of Lanfranc's most important works, the Commentary on the Epistles of St. Paul, he is said to have expounded Paul the Apostle, and wherever opportunity offered, he stated the premises, whether principal or secondary, and the conclusions of Paul's arguments in accordance with the rules of logic. As a result of his growing reputation, Lanfranc was invited to defend the doctrine of transubstantiation against the attacks of Berengar of Tours. He took up the task with the greatest zeal, although Berengar had been his personal friend. He was the protagonist of orthodoxy at the church councils of Vercelli, 1050, Tours, 1054, and Rome, 1059. To Lanfranc's influence is attributed the desertion of Berengar's cause by Hildebrand, and the more broad-minded of the cardinals. Our knowledge of Lanfranc's polemics is chiefly derived from the tract De Corpore Sanguinomini, probably written around 1060 to 63. Though betraying no signs of metaphysical ability, his work was regarded as conclusive and became for a while a textbook in the schools. It is often said to be the place where the Aristotelian distinction between substance and accident was first applied to explain Eucharistic change. It is the most important of the surviving works attributed to Lanfranc. Prior and Abbot. In the midst of Lanfranc's scholastic and controversial activities, Lanfranc became a political force. Later tradition told that while he was prior of Bec, he opposed the non-canonical marriage of Duke William with Matilda of Flanders, 1053, and carried matters so far that he incurred a sentence of exile. Apparently, their relationship was within the prohibited degrees of kindred. But the quarrel was settled when he was on the point of departure, and he undertook the difficult task of obtaining the Pope's approval of the marriage. In this, he was successful at the same council which witnessed his third victory over Berengar. 1059, and he thus acquired a lasting claim on William's gratitude. In 1066, Lanfranc became the first abbot of the Abbey of Saint-Étienne at Caen in Normandy, a monastery dedicated to Saint Stephen, which the Duke had supposedly been enjoined to found as a penance for his disobedience to the Holy See. Henceforward, Lanfranc exercised a perceptible influence on his master's policy. William adopted the Cluniac program of ecclesiastical reform and obtained the support of Rome for his English expedition by assuming the attitude of a crusader against schism and corruption. It was Alexander II, possibly a pupil of Lanfranc's and certainly a close friend, who gave the Norman conquest the papal benediction, a notable advantage to William at the moment, but subsequently the cause of serious embarrassments. Archbishop of Canterbury. When the See of Rouen next fell vacant, 1067, the thoughts of the electors turned to Lanfranc, but he declined the honor and he was appointed to the English primatial see as Archbishop of Canterbury as soon as Stigand had been canonically deposed on August 15th, 1070. He was speedily consecrated on August 29th, 1070. The new archbishop at once began a policy of reorganization and reform. His first difficulties were with Thomas of Bayeux, Archbishop-elect of York, another former pupil, who asserted that his see was independent of Canterbury and claimed jurisdiction over the greater part of the English Midlands. This was the beginning of a long-running dispute between the sees of Canterbury and York, usually known as the Canterbury-York dispute. Lanfranc, during a visit which he paid the Pope for the purpose of receiving his pallium, obtained an order from Alexander that the disputed points should be settled by a council of the English Church. This was held at Winchester in 1072. At this council, Lanfranc obtained the confirmation of his primacy that he sought. Nonetheless, he was never able to secure its formal confirmation by the papacy, possibly as a result of the succession of Pope Gregory VII to the papal throne in 1073. Lanfranc assisted William in maintaining the independence of the English Church, and appears at one time to have favored the idea of maintaining a neutral attitude on the subject of the quarrels between papacy and empire. In the domestic affairs of England, the archbishop showed more spiritual zeal. His grand aim was to extricate the church from the fetters of corruption. He was a generous patron of monasticism. He endeavored to enforce celibacy upon the secular clergy. Lanfranc obtained the king's permission to deal with the affairs of the church in synods. In the cases of Odo of Bayeux, 1082, see Trial of Penenden Heath, and of William of St. Calais, Bishop of Durham, 1088, he used his legal ingenuity to justify the trial of bishops before a lay tribunal. Lanfranc accelerated the process of substituting Normans for Englishmen in all preferments of importance, and although his nominees were usually respectable, it cannot be said that all of them were better than the men whom they superseded. There was a considerable mixture for this admixture of secular with spiritual aims. By long tradition, the primate was entitled to a leading position in the king's councils, and the interests of the church demanded that Lanfranc should use his power in a manner not displeasing to the king. On several occasions, when William I was absent from England, Lanfranc acted as his vicegerent. Lanfranc's greatest political service to the conqueror was rendered in 1075 when he detected and foiled the conspiracy which had been formed by the Earls of Norfolk and Hereford. Waltheof, 1st Earl of Northumberland, one of the rebels, soon lost heart and confessed the conspiracy to Lanfranc, who urged Roger, the Earl of Hereford, to return to his allegiance and finally excommunicated him and his adherents. He interceded for Waltheof's life, and to the last spoke of the Earl as an innocent sufferer for the crimes of others. He lived on terms of friendship with Bishop Wulfstan of Worcester. On the death of the conqueror in 1087, Lanfranc secured the succession for William Rufus, in spite of the discontent of the Anglo-Norman baronage. And in 1088, his exhortations induced the English militia to fight on the side of the new sovereign against Odo of Bayeux and the other partisans of Duke Robert. He exacted promises of just government from Rufus, and was not afraid to remonstrate when the promises were disregarded. So long as he lived, he was a check upon the worst propensities of the king's administration. but his restraining hand was too soon removed. In 1089, he was stricken with fever, and he died on 24 May amidst universal lamentations. Notwithstanding some obvious moral and intellectual defects, he was the most eminent and the most disinterested of those who had cooperated with William I in riveting Norman rule upon the English church and people. As a statesman, he did something to uphold the traditional ideal of his office. As a primate, he elevated the standards of clerical discipline and education. Conceived in the spirit of popes such as Pope Leo IX, his reforms led by a natural sequence to strained relations between church and state. The equilibrium which he established was unstable and depended too much upon his personal influence a conqueror. Beatification and the cause for canonization. The efforts of Christ Church Canterbury to secure him the status of saint seem to have had only spasmodic and limited effect beyond English Benedictine circles. However, in the period after the Council of Trent, Lanfranc's name was included in the Roman Martyrology, and in the current edition is commemorated as a blessed Vetus on 28th of May. Modern commemoration. In 1931, the Archbishop Lanfranc School, now the Archbishop Lanfranc Academy, was opened in Croydon, where he had resided at Croydon Palace. Canterbury Christ Church University have named their accommodation block Lanfranc House. He is also remembered in road names in London and Worthing, West Sussex, as well as in the Normandy cities of Caen, Avranches, and Le Bec Helouin. Lanfranc is remembered in the Church of England with a commemoration on 28 May. Thank you for listening to A Survey of Anglican History. This episode is based on content from Wikipedia, used under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license. Material has been adapted for clarity and narration. This podcast uses voice synthesis technology to assist in production, allowing for consistent and accessible storytelling.